Welcome to our fourth sermon in our sermon series entitled Self-Control. Today's sermon title, Temptation and Self-Control. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, and let's begin.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this time to be together and to reconnect with each other, but to reconnect with you more importantly. And Father, we pray that today that you would help us to see that you are a God who is incredibly faithful. And Father, that you never put forward in our life a raw deal, but you offer to us an amazing future and a better life and a better way. Father, help us to see the schemes of temptation and to move away from them. Help us, Lord, to not get caught up in sacrificing our future and what is most precious to us for things that won't ultimately matter very much in a short time. Give us the wisdom, give us the insight. And Father, today we pray your presence could just meet us in all of our needs and all of our struggles. And just for these moments together, we could take our eyes off of everything that's worrying us and going on in the world, and we could just fix our eyes on you. And we ask this in Jesus' good name. Amen. Well, church, it is so good to be with you today. It's a beautiful morning to be at church, isn't it? It is an awesome Labor Day weekend. I hope you're having a good Labor Day weekend. I saw the Blue Angels a little bit yesterday. I mean, that made me want to watch Top Gun so bad, which is one of the greatest movies of all time. So today we're going to continue our sermon series on self-control, and we're going to keep digging into this. And this has really been a helpful series to me personally, because all week long I'm reading about it, I'm thinking about it, I'm praying about it. So I feel like this has just been really helpful because I need a lot in my life. I need more than I have right now. And this has been kind of a good injection. So hopefully you've gotten something out of it too. But if not, you know, you just have to suffer a little bit longer through this. But I got a couple of things I want to share with you before we get into this is number one. So we love, one of our values as a church is to be able to unleash compassion and our community, and just serve our community and try to be a blessing in the name of Christ. And so a little while ago, we started our food pantry where people in our community, they can come in and they can get a month's worth of groceries at no cost. And you guys, you're the ones that support it. You're the ones that make this happen. The volunteers that come, they serve and they treat those people with dignity. And love, and they want to mediate the love of Christ. And this last Saturday, we had the most people we've ever had come to it. So the most people got groceries that we've ever had because of you guys. And I think that's such an awesome representation of what we should be doing as a church. So thank you for that. Give yourself a round of applause. Super cool. And then secondly, we are moving into the fall season already. Can you believe it's September? There's a bittersweet taste to that, isn't there? But as we're moving into fall, our biggest fall event is our Fall Fest. So last year was the first year where we fully rolled that out, you know, with food and trunk or treat. And basically, it was just a great opportunity to throw a really nice party and have a really good time as a way to invite our community here and help them make a connection to our church and eventually a connection to Christ. So we're doing that again October 14th. Say that date back to me. October 14th. Yeah, October 14th. And it's going to be kind of going on at 9:30 and 11. The kids will be able to play on the inflatables. And yeah, I wanted to do a big bonfire. And they're like, it's not safe for the kids. Whatever. Take all the fun away. I've always been a pyro. But anyway, there's going to be a lot of other fun stuff besides the fire. And it is an awesome opportunity. This was by far the most successful event that we've ever done as a church. So we're going to do an even better job this year. We just want to make it so easy for people to come and connect. And so here's what I need from you is one, well, I'm going to give like five things, but one, pray for it. Two, invite someone. But three, we need about 50 volunteers for the day. So if you would be willing to stay after service and help maybe, you know, man an inflatable, or, you know, we're going to have kind of a carnival row for the kids where they can do some fun games. We just need people to help with all that and make it a great experience for all the people that God is going to send. And so we need your help, church. This is going to be a great event for us, and you can sign up at the Connection Center these next couple weeks, but it's going to be awesome. Sound good? All right, let's get into the message today. So have you ever gotten a raw deal in your life? You ever maybe make a bad purchase or, yeah, right? We all have, right? Or you go over, someone's like, hey, can you help me move? Like, I just got a few things to move. And then 7 days later, your body is destroyed and, you know, the move's still halfway done. That happens, right? I remember one raw deal that sticks out in my mind was a few years ago, my sister and I were going to go to California to see some family out there. And we were looking at flights, and there was this airline that I'd never heard about called Spirit. And the price was so low. I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. I'm definitely gonna, you know, book a ticket here. So I booked a ticket, and then as I was going through the process, they were like, you know, do you want a seat on this plane? And I was like, oh, that's kind of strange, but yeah, I would like one. And they were like, you know, $10. I'm like, okay, it's still, you know, still significantly cheaper than the other options. And are you going to bring your own oxygen, or do you want to use ours? Like, $15. All right, we're still good, you know. Do you want to be able to use the restroom on the plane? $18 more. Do you weigh over 130? I'm 135. I don't know why that's funny, church. $50 more, because you're now a husky passenger on our plane. And by the time I was done, it no longer felt like that great of a deal. And then even worse, when we actually flew on that flight, I'm pretty sure our seat was some medieval torture device. You know, it was basically a nail chair that bent you forward. And I thought, I would pay $500 more to just fly anything else. It seemed like a good deal, but it turned out to be a raw deal. And I want to talk about that today, because I think many times in our life, we accept raw deals when there is a far better deal that God offers. There's one story that really illustrates this so well. It's the story of Jacob and Esau. They're two brothers. They were twins, and there was a lot of sibling rivalry and a lot of really bad family dynamics going on. And as they grew up, you know, the tensions just got higher and higher. And Esau, he was the older brother. And in the ancient culture, the older brother got the majority of the family inheritance. Like, they would get roughly 2/3. They would get the majority of it. And then the rest of it got divided up between however many other male siblings there were. So being the older brother, I mean, there was some pretty significant benefits. And that was Esau. That's what he was heading into. And Jacob was his younger brother. And one day Esau was out in the field all day long. You know, he was active. He was burning a lot of calories. And he came back and he was starving. You know, he was at that hunger level where you either eat or you kill someone. You know, it's just, there's really only two options. And as he was doing that, Jacob was making just this perfect Chipotle burrito. Just homemade, though. No cilantro in the rice, extra sour cream, double chicken. And just as Esau was walking in, he was just wrapping it up, you know, rolling it up. Actually, it was soup, but that's how I like to envision the story. And as Esau came in, he said, man, I will give you anything for some of that food. I'm starving. I'm going to die. And Jacob was a pretty slick guy. So he said, yeah, you can have some of this if you sell me your birthright. That was the deal. So his birthright meant that now Jacob is going to be treated as the older brother. He's going to get the lion's share of the inheritance. He's going to get all these incredible benefits. And Esau is going to get a bowl of soup. Good deal or bad deal? That's a raw deal, right? That's a raw deal. And so Esau said, no, I'm good, man. I'll make my own sandwich. No, he didn't. He took it. Can you believe it? He took that deal and he gave it up. And what happens in life is sometimes these raw deals, sometimes we walk knowingly into them, and sometimes we walk into them not fully realizing what we're actually giving up for the small thing that we're gaining. And the Bible talks about this, and the way it talks about it is in the sense of temptation. That's really what temptation is. It's a raw deal that gets put before you and says, I'll give you this, but you give me something of far greater value. And one of the most important things about self-control is recognizing those in our life and rejecting them. Because the deal that temptation offers is always a raw deal. It always is. That moment with Esau, that was a terrible deal. And there are going to be millions of moments in our life where we're going to kind of have that Esau moment, where there's going to be a terrible deal before us, but it's going to feel good. It's going to look good. It's going to be all the gravity in us is going to be moving that way. But in that moment, we have to learn to see it for what it really is and move past it, because God never offers raw deals. This is the beauty. God never offers them, and he always has a far better deal for us. So today I want to talk about how we can save ourselves from some bad deals. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And this is such a helpful verse. The great apostle Paul, he wrote this. We looked a couple weeks ago at another part of this letter that he wrote to this ancient church. And in it, he's going to help us to recognize these raw deals in our lives and how to move past them, because they're hard. I mean, the more I read the story of Jacob and Esau, the more I begin to sympathize with Esau, because I can see myself in that. You know, giving up something really important for something far less important. That's the nature of temptation. So let's dig into this text. Here's what it says. Great Apostle Paul, no, what's that word? Temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. No temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Anybody want to disagree with that today? No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes it feels like that. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. He will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So let's talk about this temptation. The first step to avoiding these raw deals in life is that we have to name and identify the temptations in our lives. We've got to first see them for what they are and see the raw deals that either we're walking into and we realize it, or we haven't yet realized it, but we're making this deal time and time again, and we're giving up something that is far greater and far more important. Now, when we talk about this, for some of us, naming the temptation in our life will be really easy. You'd be like, I know it immediately. I've been wrestling with this for a long time. I feel the sting of it. I feel the pain of it. I want to get better. I want to find freedom from it, and it will immediately come to mind, and you know what you're dealing with. For others, this will be a little bit harder to think, what is the major temptations or temptation in my life? What are the big struggles? So let me give you a couple ways to think about it. Again, when you hear that word temptation, you know, you're maybe tempted to think of a certain action, or, you know, everything that's on the do not do list. And certainly that's part of it, but I want you to think about it in a bigger way than that. I want you to think about it in terms of this, that it's when you sacrifice something important for something that's far less important, right? It's those moments where maybe you give into your anger, which feels good. Am I the only one that's messed up here? You guys are just, I didn't realize I was talking to people who have no temptations in their life. You give into that and it feels good and you get that little reward, you get that self-righteousness, and you know there's some payoff to that, right? Otherwise we wouldn't be tempted to do it at all. But then you damage the relationships long term around you. And that's a temptation. That's a choice. You're sacrificing something far greater. You're the most valuable relationships in your life for a moment of feeling justified, a moment of feeling like you got even. You with me on this? That's a temptation. What are those things in your life that are always pulling you to sacrifice what can be best in your future? Another way to think about it is, I was reading this week some articles and a book about self-control, and the author said that we have a horrible relationship with our future self. I thought this is kind of a cool idea to think about. A little bit depressing, but interesting. But the author said that what we do is we create all kinds of problems for our future self. The choices that we're making now are either dumping all these issues that our future self has to figure out, or we're preparing them, you know, to thrive, to move forward in a better way, right? And the author would say, like some of us, we're making choices maybe with our finances, that our future self, that unless they're Warren Buffett himself, they're not going to be able to figure these out, right? We're writing checks that our future self is not going to be able to cash. You tracking with me on this? Or maybe we're making choices physically, you know, with our bodies, not taking care of ourselves, not doing what we should do. And then our future self is going to have to be an ultra marathon runner and only eat kale to undo what we're doing. You with me on this? And he says we treat our future self like garbage. And we're piling up problems that realistically our future self is not going to be able to figure out. We're putting them in a very bad situation. That's temptation, where you're abusing your future self. When you are even, you know, robbing yourself of potential by wasting time. That's abusing your future self. Your future self could be more. God could use it more powerfully, but that means today has to look different. And temptation is saying, don't worry about it. You'll figure it out later. I abuse my future self every single semester in school. Every semester, we get the syllabus. I know I got a big paper coming. I'll get around to it. Well, guess when I get around to it? The night before, the morning before, the paper is garbage. I have to beg and plead to my professor. And then I'm really like upset for 3 days. It's silly. It makes no sense. But that's what we do. That's the power of temptation, is we're just saying, hey, here's a raw deal. You're like, I'm in. Yeah, sounds terrible. Let's do it. I'm with you. That's the power of temptation. And so the beginning is to identify where you're doing that and where I'm doing that, because we all are. And to see what these struggles look like in our own life. Because here's the second thing that Paul says about temptation, is that no temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man. And what he's saying here is that we all struggle. There's no person that doesn't have a fight that they need to fight in this area. Now again, your temptations are going to be, they're going to look different. There's going to be some nuances. They're going to be unique to you and your situation. But what the Apostle Paul is saying is everyone has them. And it's normal. It's not fun. We wish, you know, God would just take them all away and out of our lives. But Paul says, that's not the way the world works. And so there's a sense where we have to normalize temptation in our lives. And one of the ways we normalize it is just realizing you're not severely messed up because you struggle with something. You're not some lesser follower of Jesus because you have real struggles in your life. You're not God's, you know, second class citizen because you got things that are really hard and you haven't fully figured them out. You're just human. Paul says this is common. We've all got our battle to fight, and we don't have to act like we don't. We don't have to be so ashamed of it, because shame doesn't help you in this fight. What shame does is it drives you more inward, and many times the way that God will heal you is driving you outward, is through relationships and through opening up to other people and opening up to God in deeper ways. And so Paul says, look, what you're going through, don't freak out. It's normal. It's going to be all right. I remember the power of normalizing something, you know, hit me on the very first wedding that I ever did. I was so nervous. It was a good friend. I wanted the wedding to go perfect. And, you know, there's a lot of little pieces to a wedding, and you just want them, you don't want to tick off the bride. She might kill you. You know, you want it to go well. And so very first one, never done it before, really, really nervous, and it's going through the ceremony. And the groom's brother, he was on like a step like this. He passed out, and he fell forward. And I'm not kidding. He died for a second, I'm pretty sure. Like, he hit the ground like a ton of bricks. And I didn't know if he was dead. I thought maybe. And then one of his family members jumps up and says, oh, my gosh. Call 911, just induces panic in the whole room. And I just stood there because I had no idea what to do. And I was just frozen in fear and confusion. God, why did you do this to me? This is my first wedding, Lord. Why? How do we recover from this? And luckily our lead pastor, Doc, was there. And he got up, he said, Chet, this happens all the time. Finish the ceremony, they'll take care of him. Check, finish the ceremony. Afterwards, he said, that's never happened to me before. but there is something about, he normalized it. This happens all the time. I, you know, in that moment, I was like, oh, good. So like every other wedding, I should expect someone to fall down dead. And the whole crowd, all right, good, this is just normal, let's continue. There's something about normalizing our struggles that take away a little bit of their power. And Paul is saying, hey, your struggles, I know you feel like you're the only one, but you're not. You feel like you're the only one that can't get it right, but you're not. And what you're going through, you would probably be surprised to know that there are all kinds of people who have been where you're at, and can understand, and God help them, and he can help you. And I think what evil loves to do is just say, no, your struggle is of a different class. Your struggle is of a different category. And there's hope for other people, but you're too messed up. And Paul says, no, it's all common to man. There is a struggle that all of us are fighting. And then he goes on. He says, and here's the hinge of this whole passage. God is faithful. Remember, temptation is a raw deal. You're dealing with a crooked entity. You're dealing with someone who's going to bamboozle you. That's a great word. You're dealing with someone who's going to manipulate you and leave you with nothing while they gain what's really important. So that's who you're dealing with in temptation. But Paul says, when you're dealing with God, he's faithful. He's good. He has your best interest in mind. Even when you can't see him, he's still working for your best interest. He's the kind of guy that when you're in a relationship with him, it's going to be the reverse of temptation. You're going to benefit far more than you should. You're going to get a way better deal out of God than you are worthy of or have to offer to him, because God is faithful. And even in those times where you turn your back on him, he's not going to turn his back on you. That's who God is. It's unbelievable. It's hard to accept him that way because we don't know people like that. And we don't experience that outside of him. But he says, I want you to know God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. And I think the core of temptation, when you peel back the layers in your own heart, the core of temptation is answering this question: is God really faithful? I think that's where we lose the battle, is when we answer that in the wrong way. Is God really faithful? Is what he is asking me to do, is that really a better way than what looks good in my own sight? You with me on this? If I give this up in my life, what do I have? Will God really have something better? Is he really wiser in how life should look and how my life should look? Is God faithful? Is God holding out on me? When I think about some of the biggest temptations in my own life, I think this was what I was really wrestling with in my heart, is that times I felt like God was holding out on me. You know, I felt like there were times where it seemed like everybody else had all this good stuff going on, and I was, you know, trying to follow God, but as I followed God, it felt like what was required of me meant that I was missing out on everything that looked fun and meaningful at the time. And I remember there was a period in my life where I felt that way. I felt like God was holding out on me. But as time has gone on, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. But I've realized those times where I was really questioning that, and I kind of had one foot committed to Christ and the other foot a little bit somewhere else. And what I realized is God was not holding out at all. He was creating the future that I actually wanted to be part of. But I didn't know it. I couldn't see it at the time. I could only see what's in front of me. And when you can only see what's in front of you, you need to learn to trust someone who can see further than you. And someone who has your best interests and wants the very best long-term plan for your life and my life. And temptation will say, man, God's, I don't know, I think he might be holding out on you. Maybe you better go down that road. Is God faithful? That's the core question. Is God directing me in the right way? If I go down this path, will this really be the right way? These are all the questions of temptation. Will God help me and come through for me? If I honor God in this moment instead of take matters into my own hands, will God actually help me, or am I going to make my situation worse? Temptation will say, you can't trust that to God. What if he doesn't help you? And Paul says, just so simply, God is faithful. And I will tell you that in my experience, he is more than faithful. Faithful can't sum up to me in a word the benefits and the privilege and the joy of trusting God. He is just infinitely better. His deal is infinitely better. You know, when I look back at my life, the times I regret by far the most are the times where I did not trust him, where I questioned him, and I did not see him as faithful, and I made decisions out of that place. And I think, man, I took the raw deal. I took the bad deal instead of the one that God was offering. And temptation is that it's that moment to go back to your heart and say, what God do I know? Because I've only experienced a faithful God. I've only experienced a God who's come through for me, and he's come through for me when he shouldn't have, because I was a little jerk, but he still did. And he's come through for me, and he's helped me when I didn't even know I needed help. And he's directed my life in ways that I could not have foreseen, but they're better than I could think or imagine. And the more that I experience him, the more that I see what Paul is saying is absolutely right. He's faithful. His deal is good. The other deal is garbage. Don't take it. He will lead you through this. All right, so here's the last part. Said, with this temptation, he will provide the way of escape. He will lead you out that you may be able to endure it. Here's the last thing about temptation. God will never put you in an unwinnable fight. I think that's cool. He will never put us in a place where by his help and by his power, we can't make the right choice and go down the right path. Now, the Apostle Paul says he'll lead you in the way of escape, but you got to follow him, right? He'll show you the way out. He'll lead you in your situation, but you got to make sure that you are listening and that you're obeying and that you're trusting and that you are following his leadership in your life. But he'll never put us in an unwinnable fight. I know that at times it feels like our struggles are insurmountable. And they are if it was just up to us. But Paul says it's not. It's not just up to us. God is in the fight with us. And he will lead us through it. You believe that today? That you're not alone. You don't have to. This is the beauty of self-control and all these struggles. We don't have to fight the battle alone. And God will lead us to victory. We're not in an unwinnable situation. I think many times we declare it unwinnable before we even fight. I know many people who just talk about their struggles and they've already decided the battle can't be won. They've already decided the future can't be different. They've already resigned themselves to defeat. But that was their choice, not the way it has to be. Because God will lead us out. His deal is always, always better. And let me remind you, the only raw deal God ever gave, he did give one raw deal. The only raw deal he ever gave was to Jesus Christ. And the deal was, Christ, you are going to go and you're going to come into this world and people are going to mistreat you. And they're going to misunderstand you. And they're going to hate you. And even your friends are going to betray you. And they're going to forsake you. And your betrayal and you being forsaken, it's going to lead you to humiliation, to beating, and to death on a cross. And on that cross, you are going to carry the sins of the world, the full punishment of the sins of the world. Now, Christ, you're not going to deserve any of this because you're good and you're perfect and you're going to live life and in connection with me, but this is the deal. You're gonna endure all of that. And the people who put you there, and the people who who will dishonor you in their lives, and the people that could never earn or live up to what you've done for them, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them complete forgiveness, 100%, total acceptance, and I'm going to treat them with perfect love and as they are the very best and most perfect sons and daughters. He said, that's the deal. Kind of a raw deal, don't you think? But Christ said, I'll take that deal. I'll take that so that people like us can have hope and can have the forgiveness and the love of God. And so that people like us can always get the very best deal from God. We get the good deal. We get the blessing. We get the direction. We get the help, all because Christ didn't get any of that. Christ, the one who fully deserved it, who fully earned it, who was worthy of it, who lived perfectly. You know, he should have got all those blessings in his life. But Christ said, I'll take this raw deal so you can have a deal that is beyond good. A deal that is all grace. It's all undeserved love and favor. And it's a deal that can change every aspect of your life. And so now, because of Christ, every one of us will never get a raw deal from God. Because Christ, he got that. We'll only get the very best. The only one that will give us a raw deal is temptation. That's the only one that will fail us. That's the only one that will ruin us, that will lie to us, that will take from us. But the deal God offers, we'll just give, we'll change, we'll transform us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that, Lord, you took the deal we really should have got. Father, you took it willingly. You took it joyfully. Father, you took it knowing how it would glorify you and how it would change everything for people like us. Father, we give you thanks for that. We honor you for that incredible deal. And today, Lord, we pray that you could just give us an awareness in our own lives, Father, where we are taking the raw deal of temptation. And Lord, we could break that relationship. We could say, I'm not doing business with you anymore. And Father, by your power and by your help and by your leadership and because of your faithfulness, help us instead, Lord, to take the deal of a better way that you give to us. Bless us in this. Lead us in this. Help us in this, Lord. In Jesus' good name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.